Hi there, and welcome to the Living with SMA podcast. We're here to have conversations about living with spinal muscular atrophy. Throughout this podcast, we will be covering lots of different topics, from preparing for university, getting the most from your personal budget, sex and relationships, and lots more. So we invite different hosts from across the SMA community to come together here. We want to answer your questions, provide you with useful tips and recommendations, and also share personal stories. So please do reach out and connect with us here at the charity SMA UK. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find the podcast useful.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Living with SMA podcast. I'm Mia Myers, and I'll be hosting this episode. And today's discussion is all about periods and how to manage them. So yeah, what everybody's been waiting for from this series. But there's a lot we can talk about, but we're going to focus more generally on our early experiences of periods, different methods for managing them, period symptoms and pain, because that is obviously a very big element of this whole situation, and then gynecological health very briefly, and then how our SMA will relate to all of these things as we go along. And as with most episodes across these podcast episodes, we'll discuss our own experiences, which are unlikely to be true of every person who has periods or has SMA. So just to bear that in mind whilst you're listening. But really, we just hope that this discussion will be a useful resource for people with SMA who need to manage their periods and anyone more generally who's interested. And I do think that the topic of periods is something pretty taboo in society and not really spoken about enough. So hopefully our chat today will be a small part of widening discussion of this topic, because although periods are a pain in more ways than one, they're very normal and they're very common. So we need to make sure that we talk about it. So joining me for this episode, we have Beth and Jordan. And would you like to introduce yourselves? Jordan, do you want to go first?
Yep. So my name's Jordan, I'm 24. I live in the southwest of England and I have SMA type 2.
Great. And Beth?
Hi, I'm Beth. I'm 25. I live in southwest 2 down in Cornwall. And I have type 2 as well.
Cool. And just to add, so I'm Mia, I'm 19 and I have SMA type 3, and I sort of live around the Oxfordshire area, out in the sticks, in the countryside, in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, we've got a lot of ground to cover, so let's just jump right in with our first question, which is, what is it like, or was it like, when you got your first period? I don't know who wants to take that first.
I'll go first.
Yeah,
so I was actually really excited. I think I'm kind of like an anomaly in like the, you know, group, but I was really excited to kind of start my period because I started quite late. I was 15. I mean, looking back now, that's not actually that late, but to me it felt like all my friends started theirs and I was kind of the last one and waiting for it, and also have a twin sister and she started hers about like a year before me, so I was just like waiting for mine, like literally wishing for it. Whereas now looking back, I'm like, why did I do that? I should have just enjoyed the time without a period, but I didn't. So yeah, I was really excited. Obviously, it is scary too, but I think at 15 as well, you're quite educated on it. And I'd heard like my peers like talk about it and all their different experiences. So I was quite, it wasn't like that kind of scary moment, but like a lot of girls get when they first start their period. So yeah, I was quite happy with mine.
I didn't have like a lot of education. I don't actually remember what age I was when I started. But I was excited for a slightly different reason. And I don't know if other girls have felt this way as well, but it was nice to have something normal in my life. Like to have a period was something that all the other girls were doing and I could join into. But I was scared about how I was going to manage it and what it would actually look like, because you have no idea, do you, how heavy you're going to be and stuff like that.
So yeah. It's nice to kind of like meet a milestone that everyone else is too, because obviously we're kind of used to like not really hitting those milestones that other people do, but that's one that we can actually join in with. Yeah,
I definitely relate to that as well. It's probably something which I appreciated more as I've gotten a bit older, because I started when I was 13, and luckily I wasn't at school, which I think is something that not everyone can say, and it is a bit overwhelming when you start. It's quite a strange thing to experience for the first time. So it was nice that I was with, my mum was helping me at the time. It wasn't with my PAs, which is maybe something we can come back to a bit more later. But I agree, it's a massive milestone in all of our lives. It's a big deal. And the fact that we can share it with our peers is not something that we're always able to do. So yeah, that's a very positive way to look at it. So I suppose we've touched on this a bit already, but do you think your experience of your first period was different because of your SMA?
I don't really think mine was at all. I mean, it's kind of difficult because a period is a period. Like, I don't think there's any really difference to anyone else. But then, I don't know, I'm quite like an open person anyway. I guess the only thing you kind of like say is different is the fact that a lot of people have to know about it. I mean, it's not really any privacy with us having carers, us having personal assistants. There's not really any kind of like glamour to it. Everyone kind of knows what's going on. There's just no way of hiding it. But I'm quite open anyway in that sense, so I didn't really mind that much. And again, because I was older, I kind of was prepared for that. But I guess when you're younger, that's kind of a whole new kind of obstacle to face.
Yeah, how about you, Jordan?
So there was the practical side of it. I wasn't really sure how hoisting and stuff would go, if you're also bleeding at the same time, or how to get your, like, I used to do all of my clothing changes in my chair. There's no way you could get a pad up in the right place in your wheelchair, so in that way it was a bit different. But also when I started, my mum put a little note in my bag so I could give it to my TAs at school, like, Jordan started her period, she's got some pads and she'll need some help. And then we had to create this whole new routine that I wasn't prepared for at school. It obviously goes well because you have to adapt, and you do become more open about things like that as you get older, so it was manageable in the end.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you've both touched on something that was a big deal for me. I suppose it's periods is a very, very personal experience, but it's not necessarily something that you want to share with everyone. But I think definitely with my experience, and it sounds like with yours as well, you don't really have a choice about it being kept private until you want to share it with everyone. It's more a necessity that other people have to know. So I think that was definitely the biggest change. But yeah, overall, as you said, Beth, there aren't too many differences. I think for everybody, whether you have SMA or not, having a period is a bit of a faff. It's a bit annoying more than anything. And just as you were saying, Jordan, you just have to find your way of adapting, which is what we're pretty good at. It's something we've had to do our whole lives. So yeah, it's just working out what works for us. So leading on from that, what advice would you give to young people to prepare them for starting their period? Beth? Do you
want to
go?
Yeah, of course. I would just say not to be embarrassed. I think it's such like an embarrassing moment for anyone, but everyone gets them. Like, it's such a taboo thing, like you said earlier, but honestly, like, every like person who has a vagina has periods. So like, it's not, you don't need to be embarrassed about it. And like, obviously it's new to you, but it's not new to the world. So yeah, it's just not to be embarrassed, really.
Yeah, definitely. Jordan?
And I guess with the fact that you don't need to be embarrassed, but also you don't have to get it right straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You won't always know exactly how you want to manage your period until you've tried out all the different things out there. So yeah, just to be open to different ways of managing it.
Yeah, definitely. And this next question is a little bit personal, so feel free to say as much or as little as you want to. But it sounds like we all started when we were still in school or an education setting of some kind. How did you manage your periods when you were in that environment?
So I really struggled with toileting in general in school. I never used to like use a bathroom because my school were horrific with like continuity of like whoever was helping me. I used to have a different PA like every single day, tying me to the bathroom. So obviously when I used to hold like the toilet the whole time I was at school, when I started my period, obviously I couldn't really do that anymore. I needed to kind of change and wash and clean. My school did fit a B-day toilet in, which I think was such a key like tool to helping me like stay clean, helping me stay like hygienic. But yeah, again, I really struggled with like having the TAs do things for me, I think, at that age, because it is embarrassing. Like I said, just said, like, you shouldn't be embarrassed, but it is difficult, especially when that TA doesn't have the same kind of attitude and they might be a bit like reserved about it. Like, it's really important that like they're open to, but because I never knew who I was going to have that day, I was really bad with it. I'd wear a pad in the morning, kind of, it's really grim, but I just keep the one in the whole time because I just didn't know who I was going to have like that day. It's quite sad, actually.
That must have been so stressful. Because I had the same two TAs. They job shared, but we met up for a toilet break every day.
Okay.
So I had a really good relationship with them, and that way they could sort of guide me through how to deal with situations like that. Mm. But that did change for me when I went to sixth form. I didn't have a good bond with my TAs to begin with, but I also didn't like missing out on too much of class time. Mm-hmm. And obviously dealing with a period takes an extra few minutes, or it wasn't compatible. So I would do the same. I'd wear one pad throughout the day just because it was less stressful than making that time to change it.
Yeah, I agree as well. It does take time, but also your PAs make a massive difference to how comfortable you feel dealing with it. And I think that's the case before you start your period, if you're not on your period, because it is quite a personal thing to have someone help you in that way. And when you don't have a good bond with them, I don't know about you, but I can just not go for ages, because that's better than having that uncomfortable feeling of someone supporting you when you just really don't want them to be there. But yeah, when I started my period, it was around the time that I stopped walking fully. And that was probably not the best timing, because then I was even more resistant to people having to help me more, because it still was an adjustment on top of another adjustment I was making. And I don't know about you or if you experienced this as well, but a very well-known period symptom is people getting a bit hormonal. I know we don't really talk about it, but things do get on top of you a bit easier than they would have before. Things irritate you more than they might have on another day. And I definitely have that experience of being on my period and just being so frustrated with having to have that kind of support because I'm hormonal as well as everything else. So yeah, that's not the best, but there's definitely ways that you can manage things to make it less stressful. And as you were saying, Beth, it is in the end of the day a matter of hygiene to be able to look after yourself. And I've definitely done that when you just don't change because there aren't the facilities to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, leading on from that, I suppose when you go out and about, there aren't often toilets that are accessible to you. So when you're on your period, how do you deal with that? Do you just leave things in, or do you have a different method of planning your day around your period?
So I've started using period pants, which honestly, like, I got to send. I'm literally obsessed. And I just like keep the same ones on all day. So I have a super pubic catheter, so I can just go for a wee whenever I need to. I don't necessarily need like a hoist or like a bed or anything. So I'm quite lucky in that sense that I could just kind of stick the pants on in the morning, and they're a lot better than kind of, well, to me anyway, in my opinion, compared to a pad, because I just feel so much more like they kind of like soak up more. That sounds so gross, but like they're like they hold in more, and you don't feel as if like you've got like a pad on you all the time. So to me, that kind of works really well when I'm out and about. I just have a pair of period pants on, and yeah, I feel kind of clean most of the day. It just depends how heavy you are, really. I mean, when I'm on like really heavy days, I'll just stay at home. I literally, like you were saying, hormonal, I just cry in my room. I get really angry with everyone. I just stay there all day eating chocolate. So yeah, it depends, really.
I think it kind of goes hand in hand with toileting anyway. So in the wider world, I can't use the facilities because they don't have hoists and stuff anyway. So I wouldn't have been out using on my period to go to the toilet and things like that. But period pants weren't really around when I was a teen and when I had a period, because I have since decided to go on the mini contraceptive pill so that I don't have periods anymore. And that was because I could then go out and have that sort of freedom without having to worry about anything.
Yeah, when I was 17, I had a Mirena coil fitted, and had that up until I was 22, for 5 years. I had a lot of like side effects from it. It wasn't great, but like you just said, I had no periods whatsoever. So actually, I just remembered that I didn't really have to kind of think about that until recently, when period pants are a thing. So that's great.
Yeah, so would you both say that you've trialled lots of different methods for managing your periods? Yeah?
Definitely.
And which ones would you say have worked best? Which ones would you avoid?
I mean, it kind of depends on, like, you as a person, really. Like I said earlier, I'm so open, so I need like full help with for my carers and stuff with personal care. But I tried tampons, and for me, I think tampons work really, really, really well. But it is just kind of like having them help you insert it, and also that kind of thing. Like, it just depends on who you are. I literally tried everything there. I tried pills, coils. Yeah, I had the injection. Literally all different types of things, but I didn't really get on with the hormones and contraception. I kind of gained weight and that kind of thing, so I just had a clavicle fitted, and that's really, really helped. But yeah, it's just kind of trial and error, really, just seeing what works for you.
Because I wasn't ever brave enough to ask a PA to help me with a tampon, so I just did pads, and I was like, I can't live like this. And
yeah,
the pill worked for me, so
it was a special person that I had to ask. Like, literally someone that worked me for like years. I was like, okay, I'm gonna fight a bit and try it, and they really worked. But obviously then your team changes and you get new people in, and it's just like trying to build that relationship again with someone to help you do that. And I haven't done it in a couple of years. That was when I was about 20, like my hammer core were taken out. Yeah
And I think that's interesting, because obviously how we manage our periods has to change over time, not just because we change, our preferences change, our PA teams change, and periods do disrupt your life. I think maybe more so for us, because we've got all the extra elements to think of, but it's just frustrating when you have all the other extra changes around you and you want the way you manage your period to be consistent, and that's not always a possibility. My next question is, I don't know if you have anything to say about it, but I'll ask it and we'll see. I once started my period in hospital when I wasn't able to use the toilet as I normally would. Have you ever had your period when you've been in hospital, and how did you deal with that? You know? Was I just really unlucky?
I've not actually been in hospital a lot anyway, so.
No, me neither. I did start my period once when I was on like a residential with other physically disabled people, and I had a stranger care for me, and I just went home because I was just so like, obviously I'm with that choice if you're in hospital, but I was so mortified. I think I was about 16, 17. I was so mortified at having some like stranger help me with that, and I could just feel that I'd come on, and I was just like, this is so embarrassing, like I need to go home. That was kind of like the only way I could think about dealing with it, was just to escape and go home. Which actually, if I've already spoke to her, she would have been like, yeah, it's fine, people expect it. If they, like, if someone's a carer, they kind of expect it anyway, like you would do, wouldn't you?
But because they don't talk about it,
exactly,
so they're feeling like we're aliens, but actually,
yeah,
they'd be fine.
You know, I actually ask it during my interviews now. Whenever I interview for new carers, I ask about periods if they'd be okay with it, and yeah, that kind of gives you a good sign.
That's a really good idea, actually. It's not something I've ever thought of bringing up.
Yeah, I ask so many different questions, it's awful. I feel so uncomfortable.
No, it's good because you've got to weed them out, haven't you?
Exactly.
It's so important. And I don't know if you have this as well, but my PAs are on a week on, week off rota. So it's pretty much always the same PA has me when I'm on my period. So the other PA never really knows how to deal with it.
No.
I don't know. I didn't realise that would be a thing, but it is. I have a period PA and a non-period PA, and that's just the way it works. But yeah, just briefly to go back to when I was in hospital, maybe lots of people don't have their periods in hospital because of the stress, or if you've had like anaesthetic or something, it can freak out your uterus and whatever's going on down there. So maybe that's why. But yeah, I don't know. I was just wondering if anyone had any ideas about that. But I think something that's come up a lot as we've been talking is all the different methods that you can use to manage your periods. And I don't know about you, but when I was in school and they were teaching us all about periods when we're like in year six or year seven, we got taught about pads and tampons, and that was it. Do you think we should be taught about more of these other methods of managing your periods that may be more useful to people who are wheelchair users or have SMA, for example? Do you think we're taught enough in school?
I don't think we're in general, in like general sex ed, I don't think we're taught enough at all. I don't remember any period chats in like secondary school. I remember one in primary. I remember like all the girls being called out into like a separate room, and we were literally just shown like a sanitary towel and a tampon, and that was it. And I remember being scarred for life, thinking like, what is this? But then in secondary school, I don't remember any sex ed whatsoever. And yeah, it would be great to kind of show more different products that are available in the market and not just a tampon and a sanitary towel.
Yeah, because there's a lot more out there now than there used to be. But also from a disability perspective, none of our sex ed is tailored to people with disabilities or people with varying level of physical ability. Because obviously there's no way I'd be able to do a tampon, but I might be able to do a pad on my own. So it's things like that that they wouldn't have even mentioned it, I don't think.
No, and it's even like talking about contraception as a form of managing the periods and not just using that as contraception.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and these are all things which are so important for everyone to be educated on. And I just agree with you. I don't think we're told enough about it. And yeah, it would save lots of people lots of frustration of trying to struggle through using pads if they knew that you can use this pill as a way to manage your periods rather than just contraception. I think that's so true. So we've spoken about this a bit before already, but now how do you manage your periods? What's your method of choice at the moment? Beth, you said period pants work for you?
Yeah, they work really well. I kind of alternate between period pants and pads. It literally depends on which car I have on that day, because obviously putting a pad in the right place is really difficult and making it stay there is really hard. So if I have like someone new, then I kind of tend to go for period pants because can't really fit with those, just pants. But I also have a copper coil fitted, so that makes my periods extra heavy, which is, it sucks, but it's working. But yeah, so I use period pants and pads like a mixture.
Cool. And Jordan?
I'm on the mini pill. I don't remember which one it is. It's called the desogestrel one, which means I take it continually. I don't have a break and I never have a period. I actually decided to go on to it because I was going on a holiday with my dad. And it's just my dad and my sister and I. So I went to the doctor and I was like, I really can't be on my period this week that I'm away. What can you do? So we actually did, like, there's a temporary one that they can give you. And then I add a cycle. And then I've been on this one for a few years now.
Cool. Yeah, it's just you have to find what works for you. And if you stumble across it that way, at least you stumble across it. But we should all have the information before then anyway to be able to make that decision. But yeah, I relate to the slight awkwardness with your dad or my dad. I remember after spinal surgery, I went for a checkup meeting and it was me and I was 12 at the time. No, 13, must have been 13. So young, new to having periods. My dad was there and the surgeon, who was also a man, and he started asking me questions about my period as a way to see how I'm recovering, to see if like all my cycles are getting back to where they were before the surgery. And it was slightly awkward to be talking about your period with a surgeon and your dad, but yeah, it was okay. But yeah, so I manage my periods. I use pads. I'm very open to going on the pill in the future. But for now, whilst I can, I just want to avoid taking tablets and things as much as possible, just personally. But it is a faff, it is a pain. I find a way to keep the pad in a good place. Two pairs of pants, game changer. Ooh. Yes, just double up on the pants, get some funky leggings. Start with black and then you can go to like camo as you move along the cycle. But yeah, that's worked quite well for me. I've also started tracking my period, which I never really used to do, but just using an app on my phone. And that's been quite helpful because I'm always think I'm due like the week before I actually start, and it's just annoying. And then I also do that thing where I let myself eat whatever I want because I'm due my period, and then your period doesn't come for a week and you've just been eating rubbish. So I would recommend tracking, and yeah, two pairs of pants are good for keeping things in place, especially for me because I do sliding transfers a lot at the moment, and as you slide things can shift, which is not what you want. But yeah, it's just about finding what works for you, and I'm very open to changing things in the future. I've heard that the Diva Cup is really good for some people. I don't know, I haven't tried it out, but I'll let you know if I do.
No, I have heard really good things about menstrual cups. I just know that you've got to get really in there. That's not for me, in my case, at least.
I think with like tampons, at least they have applicators on, so it's not as if you're getting like deep. But yeah, I think the cup would be a bit too intimate for me.
Yeah, it is. I think the more periods I have, the more open I am to trying different things. But yeah. Also, I have these thoughts when I'm not on my period. When you're actually on your period, you just want what works. You don't want to be messing around trying other stuff because there's enough going on in your life. And then when you chuck a period in on top of it. So, yeah. But when we're talking about managing periods, obviously you have managing like the bleeding, but also all the other lovely period symptoms that come with it. And I don't know if you wanted to share some of your favourite symptoms and how you manage them.
So I get really bad cramping. I'm not sure about you guys, but my cramps are awful. I think it's added because I have the coil fitted. But I think when I had like when I first started getting periods anyway, they were really, really like extra bad. But I use wheat bags, like hot water bottles, and that honestly, like the most amazing thing. I'll be out and like have really bad cramps and I just like crave my wheat bag. Like I just want to go home, stick it in the microwave. Oh yeah, wheat bags are great. But also like painkillers and stuff like paracetamol helps me with my cramping. But I also, I get very hormonal too, like leukemia. I'm so impatient on my period. It's awful. But yeah, they're my two main ones.
And that's the thing, we will be on the edge of losing our patience all the time, but because we've got people helping us, we've got to be nice.
I know.
Really hard sometimes. I never really got much pain with mine, but I still get the hormonal swings. I'd be like, oh, everyone's really annoying me today. And it's because I've still got the hormonal cycle going in the background. I just don't see it because I'm not doing the bleeding side of it. But I remember once somebody asked me how I was and I just cried. And it's just one of those things that we just have to deal with. Sorry.
I have like the most depressing day sometimes just sat at home and I'm like, I must be due on sometime because I'm never this emotional, just crying at like Coronation Street or something. It's not me.
Yeah, I have that as well. Before I started tracking my period with the app, I was like, okay, if I've had a slight emotional breakdown today, which never happens once a month, care must be due on. But yeah, I can get pretty bad cramps. I never used to. When I started my period, I never had cramps. And I thought I was some amazing wonder child and like, SMA is enough. I've somehow managed to get away with non-cramping periods. But that did change over time, especially on the first day. I also get very sore feet for some reason, like just as I've started for about 20 minutes, my foot just really kills. I don't know why. But I have had people say to me that sometimes their period pain is so bad, the only thing that makes it better is walking it off. And obviously that's not something that we can really do. So sometimes I do get someone to like move my legs about or I don't know, chuck them about a little bit because I can't, and that does help. I also love a wheat bag. I have a wheat bag collection. They're really good just for pain generally, but on your periods, they're just so nice. Also get like nausea and stuff, hormonal things, all the fun stuff. but yeah, painkillers normally does help in the end. It's just frustrating. And as you were saying, Jordan, you have to bear in mind your whole cycle, because at the end of my period, I have most of these things again for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, they change over time. And I do think that my period exacerbates pain that I have already because of my SMA. I don't know if that's something that you have as well.
I used to get like really bad back pain on my period when I first started. I don't really get it so much anymore. It's usually just like my lower stomach. But yeah, I used to wear like my low doses was. It used to ache extra bad when I was on my period. Yeah, I don't know if that was happened to you guys.
Yeah, definitely that happened to me. And it still does now. When I'm feeling my extra hormonal, I also have backache at the same time. So that's just be part of it.
Yeah. And I think I'm just used to my back hurting. I have been my whole life. So I didn't always necessarily notice it. But then when you realise that it gets more sore around your period, it is nice, because at least you know there's a reason for it and it will go away instead of just being constant. But definitely my back pain gets worse and my hips do get sore. So yeah, lying on my tummy, if I can, getting someone to chuck me on my tummy and prop me up with all the pillows does help take the pressure off a little bit. Yeah, with then a wheat bag on my back as well, some chocolate for afterwards. That's what my first day always looks like at some point.
But that is the thing though, because we've all got such different abilities. I wouldn't be able to lie on my front at all, pretty much. And they always recommend exercise for everything, don't they? Yeah. It's like, I can't do that either. So what are you left with?
I always feel like whenever I have cramp in that, I need to kind of like stretch it out. And it's so hard to do that, because I want to like crawl into like a little ball, like a little baby, or like stretch out on my bed. But it's just so like, you don't have time in the day to do that. I just do like, always set your chair, get laid out on the bed, stay there for a little bit of your wheat bag, and then get back in your chair. It's just not like practical really, but yeah, for people that can just walk it off, it's easy.
Yeah, and also because getting into those positions, I'm always worried about my pad moving out of place and then things like that. And also getting into the position itself can be painful, especially at the beginning when I'm on my tummy, I'm really, really tight, and then gradually I loosen a little bit, but yeah, that's fun.
SEO and periods all at the same time.
Yes, isn't it nice? Aren't we lucky? But still, as we were saying at the beginning, it is nice to have a shared experience that isn't just SMA with other people, at least. And something that is positive about having periods and being a wheelchair user is you sit on a black cushion, well, I do anyway, and you don't have to worry about leaking. Like your friends, they might ask you, oh, can you just check that I'm all right at the back? But it's fine for me. I don't need to worry about stuff like that.
I've had like friends had to leave like parties and stuff because they've leaked. And I'm like, I never have that issue. No one can even tell. No one even knows right now.
But it's definitely happened, right? Where we've all leaked and it's been a disaster. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not fun. And especially when you have a PA helping you at that point, especially if it's their first shift, because my periods always time themselves, not in the best way. So it'd probably be like my first day at uni with the new PA and I've got my period. But in some ways, that's the best way to just get things over with and build the bond with your PA better through slight trauma. It seems to work.
I'm just like, I apologize the whole time, like I'm so sorry, like when they're like dealing with it, because I just feel so bad. Like it's not even like embarrassment for me, because I don't really care, it's more them. I feel so guilty for them having to deal with it, but I mean it's part of the job, I guess, isn't it? And like I said earlier, they probably expect it, because they have vaginas, we have vaginas, like they know what happens. But yeah, I think it's more like getting used to them kind of dealing with it more.
And I think with your PAs, sometimes, especially at the beginning, it can feel a bit like a one-sided relationship, which obviously it is, but like they know everything about you. They know when you go to the loo, they know when you start your period. And I definitely found it really nice when I was talking to my PAs about my period, and they just started replying saying like, oh yeah, I've been on the pill since then. And it was something they probably didn't even notice, but that just made me feel more comfortable talking about my period with them, and that, like, it wasn't an awkward thing. And I think as soon as you break down that barrier, then you can stop stressing like, oh, am I going to be due when this PA comes and they haven't had me on my period before, because this, we're busy people, there's too much going on in our lives to be worried about that on top of it.
I've been asking my carers like a lot of questions as well, because I had a coil up until March this year. I had like a numerous date in between, but then I had it taken out and I had like periods again, and I hadn't had them like properly for like 7 years. It'd been such a long time. But I was asking questions like, what's it like when you're in your period and like you're naked and you run like from the shower? I was like, what happens? Just ask it really random questions. I'm like really interested, you know.
What does happen? I don't know. I need to ask my PAs that now. What they say. I was doing a little bit of reading before this, just to make sure that I had my facts straight. But I saw that some NHS websites said that wheelchair users are more likely to have heavier and more painful periods than non-wheelchair users. So, yeah, I don't know if that's your experience. I suppose it's hard to make a comparison because it's not something that we talk about a lot, but it definitely means that managing our periods in the most effective way, having lots of chocolate on standby, nice like rom-coms to watch on Netflix, that's always my go-to when I'm on my period. Yeah, that's really important. So now, very briefly, we'll go on to gynecological health more generally. And I know that this is of interest within the community. There have been a few questions about it. And it is quite common for people who use wheelchairs all day to experience vaginal itching or redness to maybe a greater degree than other people. Obviously this is very personal, so again, feel free to ignore my question, but is this something that you've experienced, and if so, how did you deal with it?
I haven't experienced that, but the only thing I do get is like a shave down below, and the itching is so bad. I think I should in for general, but I did get BV once, a bacterial infection, just from having unprotected sex, really stupid, but I had an awful time getting treatment for that. But yeah, I guess we'll go on to that in a minute.
No, go on to it now, that's fine.
Yeah. So my general practitioner isn't wheelchair accessible, so they've got wheelchair access, but they haven't got any hoists or any beds that are suitable for like my kind of needs. So I went to the sex clinic, local sex clinic, and they questioned me that I was sexually active because I use a wheelchair. They're very shocked by it. Said that I should do a home test, which obviously means a swab, so I have to get my carer to do a swab for me, which I wanted to go to a sex clinic because I didn't want my carer to do that for me. It's a bit embarrassing. I didn't want my carer to know that I've been having sex. Like, it's such a personal thing, but they just expect you to kind of be okay with that, them knowing everything. So then I had the swab done. She even said on the phone, she was like, I'm not going to give you a HIV test because I don't think you need it. She got so like uneducated, it was really bad. I went to PALS and everything like that, and then it came back inconclusive, like I didn't have any results from the test. So I went to my GP again, and she was like, it's just, I don't think you've got anything wrong with you, like we'll give you some antibiotics anyway. Took antibiotics and it cleared up straight away. So it was really difficult just trying to get access that kind of support locally. Like it was awful trying to convince someone that I was sexually active because I use a wheelchair. That was horrific. It was probably the worst experience.
It's so bad. You think it's 2021, guys, come on. Even if it wasn't, people should have this awareness. But
yeah, and like if you work in a sex clinic as well, you would see all types of people, surely, so you should know that, like, disabled people have sex. I don't even know how that's even a thought that they don't. It literally confuses me daily, but yeah,
in some ways it confuses me, but in others we weren't taught about it either.
Yeah, true.
You don't see it in media and things like that. I think the new L word has just shown their first physically disabled person, she's a wheelchair user, actually having sex on screen and stuff like that. So we're not exposed to it, and clearly professionals aren't either. Mm. And it's such a shame. I don't know if it's different geographically, but I live in a very sort of rural area, and I don't think they'd have a hoist for me unless I requested it specifically.
Yeah, and I think that that is the truth for many GP practices. I've definitely gone and had to transfer onto like the bed just for other medical examinations. And if I didn't have my transfer board, or if I didn't have the upper body strength that I did at the time, I would have just had to miss the appointment. And that's obviously a violation of healthcare rights. And that leads me very nicely onto my next question. So thank you. But I was just thinking, smear tests or vaginal examinations or cervical screenings, so, so important. But I think lots of wheelchair users, probably lots of people in our SMA community, are put off by the thought of not being able to access the treatment, or not being able to transfer, or healthcare professionals being unprofessional. I don't know if either of you have had experience of anything like this, or smear tests, for example.
Yeah, so I turned 25 in December and had my first smear test this year. It wasn't a very good experience. I didn't want to like talk about it and kind of put people off, but I guess it kind of, you would need to be like educated about it. So obviously I said that my GP wasn't accessible, when I didn't have the resources that I needed. So I got referred to my local city hospital, and they weren't prepared for me at all. They had a hoist, but they weren't prepared for my kind of level of need. I got on the bed and I wasn't very comfortable, because obviously, I don't know about you guys, my balance is awful. Like, I have to have, like, well supported on a bed. I can't just sit like unaided on the edge of a bed. I'll just, more like my anxiety, I just feel like I'm gonna fall. Like, I probably won't, but I feel like I'm gonna. And I was kind of just like, and my anxiety was really high talking about it. But they took my underwear off, didn't cover me with a towel or anything, kept leaving the doors open to the waiting area with my legs up in stirrups. Yeah, it was so bad. The lady doing the examination questioned how I even have sex and if I'm even sexually active. Had to get a consultant in who brought in a student doctor who was also male, and didn't even ask for permission. It was honestly a horrific experience, and I was left with bruises on my thighs where they manual handled me, like to try and pull me down the bed. Had massive bruises on my down my legs and stuff from that. I written like a powers complaint, but I got kind of bobbed off, which was quite bad. But that's kind of put me off a lot in just made, like, because the actual smear test itself, it isn't bad. Like, girls should not be put off by going to get a smear test. I get that it's embarrassing, and I get that it, like, it seems to be painful, but it's not. It's literally the most easiest like procedure ever, and it's horrible that we have to go through such ordeals to get such a like simple treatment or such a simple test.
I'm really sorry that was your experience.
Thank you.
So awful, because it's one of those things that is meant to be routine. And to make you, for a start, go to a city hospital is completely out the way. You have to take extra time to do all of that. And then they weren't actually ready for you anyway. It's just a massive letdown.
And again, like, it was a specialist like gynecology ward. So you think as well that they were prepared for that kind of thing, and like all different kind of anatomies and that kind of thing. But yeah, it wasn't great.
It makes me worry for the people who then don't want to try and go and get themselves checked out and things like that. Yeah,
definitely. It makes me worry as well, people that aren't like, don't have full mental capacity, because I'm just like, I could like voice it, and they were getting like really like aggressive towards me because I was getting aggressive towards them, but like they were calling me like a princess and saying that I was high maintenance. Yeah, I started crying at one point because it was really painful. This is so depressing, I'm sorry guys, but I was like crying at one point, and she like, a nurse was like, oh, I hope you have waterproof mascara on, like really snidely at me. It was horrific. Yeah, but I was just thinking, if that was somebody there, like with even like not as much confidence as I have, they'd be like eaten by that, and that could like literally traumatize them.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Do you think you would go back for your next appointment, or has this really put you off the whole thing?
So when I went on Risdiplam, I had to, with my consultant, she enforces the whole contraception thing, that I have to be on contraception to be able to take Risdiplam. And at that time I wasn't on anything, but I didn't want any hormonal contraception because I just gain weight. I'm not a nice person when on hormones. So I opted for the copper coil, and it meant going back to that city hospital to get it fitted, but I refused and just said I want a general anaesthetic to get it fitted, because I just refused to go back there. It wasn't even physical, it was just mental trauma and like emotional. I'm terrified of my next smear test. Luckily it's like 5 years away.
Yeah, so what would be your advice then to other people with SMA who get their smear invitation through? What would you say to them?
it's just being confident and speaking out for your own needs and not letting anyone kind of take control of your body, because you know your body the best. Because the nurse kept telling me that I wasn't going to fall, or like that I was fine, and she dropped my leg several times. But you just got to like, be confident with your voice. And I think obviously I annoyed them at the end of it. They weren't very happy with me, but that could have been such a dangerous situation if I hadn't voiced my opinion or voiced my needs. But also take someone with you who knows your care. So I took a long-term PA with me, and she was like in my corner fighting for me. But it was really good that I had her there, because if I didn't have her, I honestly don't know how it would have turned out.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that must have been so stressful.
Oh, I'm sorry, I just like lowered the tone a lot.
it's important to share these experiences, because smear tests are obviously so important. They're one of the most effective ways of preventing cervical cancer, and there are other types of vaginal examinations which are very important for your health as well. And it's your right to healthcare as someone with a vagina or with a cervix to have these things, and you shouldn't feel like you have to be denied that or that you have to opt out because of your personal situation. And you'd think that if you were going to a hospital, then even if it was a bit more out of your way, that they'd be better equipped to support you in the way that you deserve. But
yeah, I was just like frustrated, because you see like campaigns everywhere about getting girls to get a smear test, and you see people having them done like live on TV and that kind of thing to try and make girls more comfortable with it. And like, I wasn't even scared about the procedure. Like it wasn't even that was holding me back, which is common for most girls. It was a whole like, how am I going to get on the bed? How are they going to hold my legs? Like, how is it going to happen? Am I going to get questioned about my sexual activity? Like, and it shouldn't be like that. It should just be like most girls. And it's whole, but that's what puts me off and not the actual getting the procedure done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but the actual procedure itself was okay.
Oh, it's so easy. Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's painless, literally painless.
That's good. At least that was literally painless.
Yeah, it was fine.
And I hope obviously everybody hopes that your next experience will be a lot better, as yeah, you deserve it to be. Yeah, wow, that's okay. So does anyone have any final thoughts or anything else they'd like to say on anything that we've spoken about today? We've covered a lot. I'm very proud of us, and it does feel a bit strange talking about this. Like sometimes I was talking before and I was like, I don't think I've ever said this out loud before, but there's no reason why it should be the case. And I think that chats about periods are becoming more mainstream in society, and we need to make sure that our perspectives as disabled people with periods are taken into account, or disabled people needing these types of smear tests or vaginal examinations. Because I think there's a total lack of awareness. And when there's a lack of awareness, then there's the lack of provision, and then we're the ones who have to deal with it, unfortunately. But I'm optimistic things will improve. But the only way to do that is to have these chats, and I don't know, hopefully someone important will listen to this episode and make a change. And hopefully it's been useful for everybody listening to hear our experiences. So thank you both for your time and sharing your really personal stories with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's been really nice to talk about it, because I think our community, our SMA community, is very supportive, but it's also very small. And sometimes you forget that while your experience to yourself in the moment might seem very different from that of like your friends, lots of people are having the same experiences. They're just a little bit further away from you. So yeah, it's been really nice to talk it through. So yeah, we really hope it's been helpful to everybody listening. And if you'd like any more information, then feel free to get in touch via the information in the podcast description. And yeah, someone will be able to help you. But other than that, I think that's it for today. So keep a lookout for more episodes in the Living with SMA series. There are lots of really, really good ones already out, and more to come. Jordan stars in most of them, it seems. But yeah, feel free to check them out if you haven't already. And thank you again for listening.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Living with SMA podcast. We hope you can join us again next time. But in the meantime, please don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. You can find out more on our website at smauk.org.uk.